Hello.
Hello, Anna.
Hi, this is Jamie.
Hi, good to hear your voice again.
It's good to hear yours.
I guess we're waiting for Hanok, right?
Right. And I have company because we had a death in the family, and so people are in and out for tomorrow's memorial
Okay.
service. So I don't know how long I can stay on.
I
So.
understand. I understand. Well, if you disappear, we'll know what that you have
Right.
other obligations. Right. I'm sorry about your loss.
Thank you.
It's always difficult. Well, I think that Hanok has been really, really busy recently.
Well, like today, it's three classes, so hard to get. Well, with
Absolutely,
the
and
sleep
that.
coat, the sleep coat prayer.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Hello,
Good
good
afternoon.
afternoon. This is Jamie
and Hannah.
Welcome to everyone. Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Anna Bakoa, Gedulat Yemincha, Tati Serura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tzadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagvenu, Tacharenu. No ra kufrikayan simtet nun. Nagibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nungimodalad yud kafshin. Barhem tacharem rakame sikatcha tamid. Gam lame. Betet resh, Saditak Gimel. Chasim Kadosh, Biro Tucha, Nael Adata. Het Kufet, Tet Nunayan. Yachid Geer, Lamcha Pene, Zokre Kidushata. Yud Gimelamet Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot. Shin Kuf Vav Tzadi Yud Tav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Ral Chesed V'Emet. Notzeh chesed la'alafim, noseh avon v'pesha, v'chata'av v'nakeh. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from Parashat Yitro in the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It is Pasuk 29. And I'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Berichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Dhilu Dhilu Urchimu Ve'achta L'shem Yud Hei Bevav Hei Ve'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam, Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Beka Matar Tane Nandakucha Perichu Koma Diaved Le'ela Wittata Kola Ihu Kishot Diovada Dikshot Veleid Lach Mila Bialma Divaye Barnash Bedach Yaleya Mine Aulan Hagal Beya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikolait Stirith Bialma. The energy of the year 5778, our current year, is to bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses in the Tanakh that connects to this energy. The first that we will study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon, Vayichal Vayavo, Hamelech Liroto, Vayomer Amnon, El Hamelech Davo, Natamar, Achoti Udlabev, Bene Shete Levivot, Vievremiada. Next, we will study Psalm chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each. These three letters represent the concealment, the energy of the concealment. Chatati Odiecha Wawoni Lo kisiti amarti odeh ale pashai la donai yo he wahe we atanasata awon khatati sela. The year 5777 has the energy of the goats, but also of the wake-up call. And there are two verses that connect to the energy in this for this year as well. The two verses, the first verse we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katsipor o yavai finam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create satsuki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to create dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each, and these seven letters represent the concealment energy. Kim Vadonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadevaku Kasher Asitem Adhayom Hazeh. The year 5776, which is known as the year of the pause that refreshes, the energy of this year has two verses in the Tanakh that relates to this energy. The first verse we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka Kohanim Hayulimat Willo Yahlu Lehav Sheep. Et Kohaolot Zayahaskum Achechem Halevim. Ad Kelotam Lacha Yad Yitkachu Hakohanim. Ki Halevim Yishrei Levav Lehit Kadesh. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe Lalahe Wawawa Yola Yo Alame Hey 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 Aka Rekaha. The second verse that connects to the energy of the pause is from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu va'adonai yo'ewahe ad-de'ad ki bi'a yo'he adonai yo'ewahe tzur olami. The year 5775, has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses in the Tanakh that connect to this energy. The first is from Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni abili ruki. The second verse that we study is from 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoyia asher yitchabe sham moshavtem elai elnachom v'halakti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti oto v'kol alfei yichuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lametzah yoved ro'av yom ru'ayom. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy in all of the Tanakh. It's the 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael undati v'shakan ta'ata v'lo yergaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto kasher barishona. They will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the technique, the tool, of saying the letter with its root vowel in sequence. Wahe wa yo la yo sayote alame mehe shi la la he. Aka aka heita eza yo alada ala awa he heya yozala mebe he he reyo he kome la awa kala yo la wawa pe he la nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa Yuta he he a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo ke wa le a he he ka wa ko me nu da a nu yo he a me re ai ya yo yo za hey 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 me yo fa wa wa la yo la hey za a la re yo a shi la me yo hey wa hey wa da nu yo hey hey shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be hey pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la hey re hey me ta re wa me be yo hey a hey a nu wa pe me hey yo ta me be me nu ko a yo a hey be wa re a hey yo be me hey yo yo me wa me. Now we will connect to the 72 names from the, that were revealed by the Tzaddikim. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo hey anu a ka me ta me hey hey yo anu da. La he wa he me a yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ha be yo la yo wa he pe nu la nu me ha yo he a yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he. Re la yo a wa me, la yo be wa he re. Yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da. Anu yo he wa me, he wa me re he a yo he za. He shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he. Sa a la a re yo, a la me ta he. Wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu wa ta me la he be a yo nu ko me yo re la he be he me za yi re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me. Hey la yo me hey me. We will now connect to the Ma meditation. Yo wa da yo wa da hey ya yo wa da hey ya wa wa yo wa da hey ya wa. Wa hey ah, yo wa da yo wa da hey ah, yo wa da hey ah, wa wa yo wa da hey ah, wa wa hey ah, yo wa da yo wa da hey ah, yo wa da hey ah, wa wa yo wa da hey ah, wa wa hey ah. Yo wa da, yo wa da hey ah. Yo wa da hey ah, wa wa. Yo wa da hey ah, wa wa hey ah. Yo wa da, yo wa da hey ah. Yo wa da hey ah, wa wa. Yo wa da hey ah, wa wa hey ah. The Tzaddikim who left this day, which is the eighth day of Elul. Last night I made the mistake of saying it was the tenth day. Rabbi Shlomo ben Rabbi Yosef Karo and Rabbi Michael Ashkenazi and the Tzaddikim who would leave tonight starting at sundown and tomorrow Monday, being the ninth day of Elul. It's Dan ben Yaakov Avinu, one of the leaders of the tribe, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Rabbi Sadok ben Rabbi Yaakov HaKohen Rabinowitz of Lublin. Rabbi Nahum Mordechai ben Rabbi Alter Yisrael Shimon Perlo of Novominsk. And Rabbi Yonathan Shteif. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Today's class continues our study for the preparation for the Tishrei holidays. You will find the handout on the Unique Astrological Times link. When that landing page opens up, scroll down about an inch. It's the last link above where it says the community morning prayers during Elul. The link is titled Tishrei Lessons from Kosher Torah. We are going to be reading starting on page 20 of the PDF file that opens up. The title of the section we are reading, The Ways of Teshuvah, of repentance, according to the Kabbalah of the Arizal. This is coming from selections from the Sefer Evan HaShoham, which is the Shulchan Aruch of the Kitvei HaArizal, in Volume 7, the Hilchot Teshuvah, Chapter 1. Now, it is written, give strength unto Hashem upon Israel his pride. The meaning is as if to say that Hashem needs help, assistance, and strength from the actions of Israel below. Now, the Malchut, the Holy Shekhinah, is called the Fallen Tabernacle, the Sukkah of David. For in our sins it has fallen due to our bad actions. Thus, when there is desire for it to ascend, it needs to be by our merits and our good deeds. It is as if to say that our sins cause it to fall and our merits enable it to rise. Know that each year has its own individual angelic prince. One does not have the authority to violate the border of another. This is also why one must do teshuvah each and every year. For the teshuvah of one year does not apply to any other year. Therefore, now it is impossible for her, the Shekhinah, to rise if we do not have amongst us purely righteous individuals whose souls are holy and pure, who have the power to elevate up to the place of Ima, of Bina. By their hands will the Malchut descend, even as it says in the Tikkuni Zohar, for Israel is called the wings of the Shekhinah, to raise her up above. For this reason our exile becomes greater and longer, for there is no one among us to rise up to this level. For if there was among us one who was able to elevate his soul, there he would allow also elevate the Malchut, the Holy Shekhinah, and thus speed along the end and the redemption. However, now in our days, in our many sins, we cannot perform the appropriate Yehudim, spiritual union, the Yehudim above. For this reason, this end is distant. Almost all ill and suffering that comes from men is for this reason. However, with all this, there is still a small rectification by those who with all their hearts offer their souls for the sanctification of the name of God. For by this, although we have no good deeds and have been horribly sinful, nonetheless, by offering our souls to be killed, all of our sins are atoned for. We thus have the ability to ascend to the Supernal Mother, to Bina, as our sages have taught. So great is Teshuvah, repentance, that it reaches the throne of glory, as it is written, "Return, Israel, to Hashem, your God." For the matter of Teshuvah elevates a man and brings him up to the throne of glory, which is the Supernal Mother, who is called Teshuvah. By this can the Malchut, Bina, ascend with us, for we are the wings of the Shekhinah. Page 21. It appears to me, Chaim, that I heard from my father, my teacher, may he rest in peace, that one should fast 4 times in a year, 3 complete days and nights, before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, before the 10th of Tevet, and before the 17th of Tammuz. Even if one does this only once in his lifetime, it is enough. It does not have to be done every year. However, these fasts are enough only to nullify from oneself that which has been ordained to come upon him in this world because of his sins. However, this does not nullify the punishment in the world that is coming. The essence of the punishment of sins is when one is punished in Gehinnom after one dies. This punishment is not nullified by the previously mentioned fasts. However, one needs to perform other rectifications, as will be explained. All the good deeds that a man does, all the while that he is a wicked person, or the Torah he studies, certainly do not add holiness to him. On the contrary, such a one adds strength to the forces of evil, to the klipot. Of such a one does the verse speak. And to the wicked one, God says, "To what purpose do you recount my decrees and bear my covenant upon your lips?" Such a one only brings holy things into the realms of evil, the klipot. By this one adds sins upon his wickedness, and his sin will be greater than he can bear. When one returns in Teshuvah, he releases all the holiness that he put into the forces of evil and returns them to holiness. This is true repentance, that one restores a thing to its rightful place. His reward for doing so is multiplied greatly because he subdues the forces of evil and releases the holiness from within them. He thus gives power to holiness when he brings it inside himself. With this will, we understand what our sages have taught, that one's sins are turned into one's merits. This is the end of chapter 1. there are a number of things that have been expressed and taught in this chapter that we have never heard before. One thing, for example, is your teshuvah must be done each year. Because once you have done a teshuvah and changed yourself and no longer see that particular negative action in other people anymore, it still must be done again. Because the teshuvah relates to the correct time. It relates to this year and cannot be crossing over the boundary to the next year. There are other amazing teachings in this chapter. It should be studied. It should be contemplated. And if anyone has any questions, please feel free to ask now before we go on to chapter 2, which we will do momentarily. Chapter 2. May it be for a good sign that I begin to write the rectifications for the sick of soul. Even as I have heard from the mouth of the Holy Kabbalist, His Honor, my teacher, Rabbi Yitzhak Ashkenazi, known as the Ari. Being that a human being is created from both physical and spiritual matter, the spiritual matter being the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama souls, with the neshama being a portion from Hashem, as it is written, and he breathed into him the soul of life, nishmat chayim. The body is dense physical matter from the side of the husks for the klipot. It acts as an accuser, hinders one from spiritual completion, and cuts one off from the tree of life. The evil inclination is activated at one's birth, and by the time one becomes aware of good, at the time of one's bar or bat mitzvah, the evil inclination is already called an old man, an old and foolish king. This is because the evil inclination was born 13 years prior to the descent of the neshama into the body. Therefore, there is no righteous one on earth who does not good and yet who has not sinned. It is known that sin blemishes, stains, and undermines the soul. This, then, is the sickness of the pure soul. When the soul is tainted and blemished, it is not able to see or grasp true completion. When we do a sin, we create a blockage. That blockage limits our ability to see truth. It limits our ability to see, or to feel, or to hear, or any of the other emotions, or other senses. It causes us to become confused. That was my commentary. Page 22, which comes through the study of the secrets of the Torah, which is the Kabbalah, which is the Zohar, the Tikkuni Zohar, and other commentaries. The reason why this is so important is that it enables the soul to bond with Hashem. For this reason was the soul created. Therefore, on Judgment Day, the soul will be asked, Did you in alive ever meditate upon the supernal image, which is to be found within the secrets of the Torah? Sin causes there to be a division and a separation between the soul and the Creator, disabling the soul from seeing and understanding supernal, holy, and pure matters. Just as when one is physically sick, the doctor gives him or her bitter medications to swallow, yet these very things restores him or her to his natural state of health, as he or she once was. Thus it is with the sick soul. In order to remove the illness, the soul needs to accept upon itself the bitterness of the medication, of the spiritual medication, which is teshuvah, with suffering, with fasting, with sackcloth and ashes, stripes and going to the mikvah. With these things will one become pure from the filth and blemish of sin. In order for us to be able to grasp and understand supernal matters, which are the mysteries of the universe, which is the wisdom hidden from ancient days in the time of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, until now, we have our teacher, the holy, the godly, Kavod Moreno Yitzhak de Luria, the Ari, for by the spirit of prophecy that was within him did he begin to enlighten our eyes in this sacred wisdom. The Arizal would never reveal any of the secrets of this holy wisdom to one that he saw had a blemished soul. First, he would give him a rectification to perform in order to rectify his sins. Let this as a lesson to all those who study Kabbalah without the observance of the mitzvot. Our sages have said that one who comes to purify him or herself is assisted from above. In order to achieve personal merit, and to benefit those who wish to perform sincere repentance, who wishes to purify his soul and enter into the vineyard of wisdom. Rabbi Chaim Vital will write a list of the sins that people stumble over, be it in their youth or old age, and the healing that is needed for each and every sin. One must know the place of the blemish in one's soul so as to know what to rectify and what specific teshuvah one needs perform in order to rectify one's sins. What we find from the mouth of the Rav, the Arizal, are the meditations and the rectifications that are necessary for each and every sin, so that one's heart will tremble because of one's sins and return to Hashem, who will have mercy. The rectification for a man who misses any of the following four positive mitzvot: not praying, not wearing talit, not wearing tefillin, not reciting the Shema, is to fast 61 days for each of them. Please note, most individuals today do not have the physical stamina to fulfill the required number of fasts. These and the following fast requirements are fulfilled today by giving similar dollar amounts to tzedakah. For further information on these, this, you can see the Sefer HaTanya in his section of Igeret HaTeshuvah. We have studied that together in previous years. Page 23. One who sins in thought must fast 87 days. One who violates an oath or who swears falsely, his rectification is to fast 28 days in a row. Please note, when it said 87 days, it did not say in a row. Can one fast 28 days in a row to cleanse the sin of swearing falsely? And can those 28 days be considered part of his 87 days? It's a question that has not yet been answered, to my knowledge. One who speaks about disgusting things should fast for 37 days. To rectify the sin of arrogance and mockery, both are the same, is to fast 55 days. One who sins by dishonoring one's father or mother should fast 45 days. And this is the number of Av and Im. Ima or Im is 41, and Av is 3. 41 plus 3 is 44, and with the kolel, by adding 1, we get to the 45. The rectification for one who publicly embarrasses another is to roll naked in a bed of thorns. That does sound like a fairly severe penance. One who stays awake all night, who doesn't sleep at all, but who studies Torah all the night long, will be exempt from punishment for one sin liable of excommunication, of a karet, a separation. If one did such, God forbid, each night exempts one sin that he had done as a karet, that requires a karet. When I was studying in the Kabbalah Center, we went through a period of approximately 12 weeks, if my memory serves me. Every Thursday night through Friday morning, we stayed up all night together studying the Zohar, studying the Arizal. These late night sessions became very difficult because people lost that sleep. And at the end of the 12 weeks, it was determined, one, that sufficient numbers of karets had been achieved, or we just didn't have the vessel to make up for it in this way. But I highly recommend it for those of you willing to try it. Maybe not 12 weeks in a row, but maybe every other week. You have to evaluate your own personal health in determining this for yourself. The rectification for a Jewish man who sleeps with a Gentile woman. Our sages have said that one who sleeps with a Gentile woman, she becomes attached to him like a dog. This is what is written in the Zohar. What our sages meant here was that if a Jewish man were to have intimate relations with a Gentile woman, he will reincarnate in his next life as a dog. His rectification is that he roll himself in snow either 7 times or 9 times. And if you live in an area that this coming winter is an area where snow will fall, fresh snow will fall, and you have at least 2 feet of snow, please give me a call in it prior to that anticipation, and I will give you the recommendations of exactly what is this process of rolling in the snow. Exactly what it's called is Gilgul, rolling, Hashelig, the snow. Gilgul Hashelig is rolling in the snow. It cleanses many lifetimes of sexual improprieties. The rectification for adultery is to fast 325 days. Each of these days, one is to wear sackcloth, and one must put some ashes on his forehead, in the place where the head tefillin is worn. 7 is a burlap bag, essentially. The burlap scratches. It's irritating. It's uncomfortable. And that's what's being described. To rectify the sin of homosexuality, one should fast 233 days. And let me say that that sin of homosexuality is limited to the idea of anal intercourse. The soul of the sinner and his supernal image is either muted, deafened, or blinded as a result of the sin. Each sin causes its own blemish. Immediately, once one does teshuvah, his or her supernal form is restored completely as at first. Note, most individuals today do not have the physical stamina to fulfill the required number of fasts. These and the following fast requirements are fulfilled today by giving similar dollar amounts of tzedakah. For more information on this, see the Sefer HaTanya in the letter of Teshuvah, Igeret HaTeshuvah. I believe we're on page 24 and starting chapter 3. Does anybody have any questions up till now? Everyone who sins, if he or she does teshuvah, then the supernal ima, bina, who is called teshuvah, has the ability to rectify the person's blemish, and this will be enough. However, if one does not do teshuvah, one will need to return in reincarnation to rectify his or her sin. This comes about through Abba, which is Chokhmah, for he is called thought, as is known. Regarding him is it written, let him ponder thoughts so that no one be banished from him. It is the Sefirot Chachma that returns the soul in reincarnation in order to rectify it. We will now explain the matters of Teshuvah, and we will also explain the saying of Rabbi Matya ben Harish in the last chapter of Yoma regarding the four parts of atonement. If a man violate a positive commandment, etc. The first part of atonement is if one violates a positive mitzvah. This blemishes the realm of asiyah. When one repents and does teshuvah, he will not move from his place until he is forgiven immediately. For by violating a positive mitzvah, one causes the descent of the malchut of asiyah. When one repents and does teshuvah, it easily ascends and immediately is rectified. The second part of atonement is if one violates a negative mitzvah and repents. His or her forgiveness is postponed, and Yom Kippur will atone. For this sin blemishes the realm of Yetzirah and causes a separation between the Malchut and the six Sefirot of Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, who become concealed because of the sin. When one does teshuvah and Malchut is restored to her place, however, she still must wait for the lights of Briah, which are called Yom HaKippurim. Then she will ascend up to there. This is what it means when it says that forgiveness is suspended and Yom Kippur will atone. The third part of atonement is if one were to violate a mitzvah, punishable by either being cut off or by being put to death by the court. This blemishes Briah. Thus, when one does teshuvah, both forgiveness and Yom Kippur are suspended for the Tiferet. Really, the whole Chesed Gevurah Tiferet Netzach Hod Yesod and Malchut both are unable to ascend above to their rightful places until one endures suffering, which comes from Abba and Ima, from Chachma and Bina. They will cleanse the sin in accordance to the secret meaning of the verse. God, specifically the name Yah, spelled Yud-Heh, has chastened me exceedingly. The name Yah, spelled Yud-Heh, refers to Abba, which is Yud, and Ima, which is Heh. For from them emanate trials and tribulations. The fourth part of atonement is if one were to commit a chilul Hashem, desecration of God's holy name. This blemishes Atzilut, which is called the world of life, wherein which there is no death. Such a sinner causes there to be death in the world of eternal life. Therefore, Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, and suffering are suspended, for not one of the three worlds, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, are able to ascend above to their places until the death of the sinner. And this is measure for measure. One death will then atone for one completely. We are on page 25, the second paragraph. Now I will explain the difference between the two types of sins Avon and Pesha. A Pesha sin is when one knows his master and intentionally intends to rebel against him, to anger him. This causes the klipot, the forces of evil, to take all of the supernal radiance, the source of blessing, and they do not give any of it to Israel below. And Avon sin, when one does what he wants, following his desires. This enables the klipot to also take the supernal radiance that descends from heaven. However, after they take it, they pass on a smaller amount of it to us below. With this insight, will one understand the two statements recorded in Yoma. This is a section of the Talmud, Yoma. One says that so great is teshuvah that one's intentional sins become like unintentional sins. This is speaking about one that intentionally sins, the pesha. Initially, such a one causes the klipot, the forces of evil, to take all of the supernal radiance for themselves. Now, by his deeds of teshuvah, he causes the klipot to give us a portion of the supernal radiance after they have taken a portion for themselves. The other statement is that when one does teshuvah, one's intentional sins become like merits. This is speaking about the avon type of sin, where one sins only due to lust. When one does teshuvah, he causes the klipot not to take any portion of the descending supernal radiance at all. Such a one prevents the forces of evil from taking even their own portion. Know that there is hardly any man on earth who does not return in reincarnation. Now the wicked, after they die, enter Gehinnom, where they are judged for 12 months. There are those wicked of whom it is written, and may he hurl away the soul of your enemies as one shoots a stone from a slingshot. These souls do not merit entering Gehinnom. Their souls go from bad to worse in various reincarnations, until their sins are partially removed. Only then are they able to enter Gehinnom for 12 months to atone completely. For these reincarnations, there is no set time. Sometimes one reincarnates for 20 years, sometimes for 100, or even 1,000 years. The righteous and the Torah scholars, however, are not subject to the fires of Gehinnom. Therefore, they need to reincarnate into this world to cleanse any sin that they might have. With a tzaddik, immediately upon his death, he is punished to cleanse him of whatever serious sins he might have. Then he is taken one level higher. When it comes his turn to ascend to the next higher level, he is again punished to cleanse him of his sins that were less serious than the first ones. Then he ascends a second time to an even higher level. Then he is punished again over the finest points of the mitzvot, which are as a hair's breadth. Then he ascends to his rightful place, of which he is worthy. A number of times, I, Rabbi Chaim Vital, would be walking with my teacher, the Arizal, in a field, and he would say to me that there was such and such an individual whose name was so-and-so, and he is a tzaddik and a talmid chacham, a learned rabbi. Yet for the reason of such and such a sin that he did when alive, he is now reincarnated into this stone, or this plant or similar thing. My new teacher never ever knew the person of whom he spoke. We investigated the matter to see if there really was such a person, and we found his words were indeed true. We're on page 26, the second paragraph. After one dies, his sins are ripped out of him prior to his entering Gehinnom by many different ways of punishments, all of which are called reincarnations. This means that no one will reincarnate in an inanimate object, a plant, an animal, or a person. Almost all human beings are subject to these reincarnations. Sometimes after the leaf is destroyed, the soul returns and reincarnates in another leaf. This too will be destroyed. This cycle repeats numerous times, similar to how one reincarnates as a person numerous times, all in accordance to the appropriate punishment. Know that all souls that are reincarnated and all souls otherwise punished by the heavenly court have an angel that goes before them and proclaims their sins and what is their punishment. The proclamation follows the soul into every reincarnation and never leaves his side. There is also an angelic policeman who carries out on the soul the appropriate punishment. When the soul is pushed into a reincarnation, this enforcement angel keeps the soul there until its punishment is complete. The vast majority of those reincarnated or otherwise punished also have a heavenly court that is constantly watching them. The court periodically changes the soul's punishment from time to time, from one thing to another, in accordance to the appropriate sentence and judgment. There are those who will reincarnate into animals. One who donates charity with a haughty heart will reincarnate as a bee. A man who has intimate relations with a forbidden woman will reincarnate after his death as a dog. One who has sexual relations with an animal will be reincarnated as a bat. A man who has intimate relations with a menstrual woman will be reincarnated as a woman. One who commits adultery will reincarnate as a donkey. One who commits the sin of homosexuality will reincarnate as a male or female rabbit, depending on which aspect of the sin he committed. One who continuously looks at immodest members of the opposite sex will be reincarnated as a vulture. Page 27. One who acts without mercy to the poor will reincarnate as a crow. One who causes one to forfeit money in an inappropriate court, one not following Torah law, will reincarnate as a rabid dog. Rabbis and tzaddikim that need to reincarnate to be cleansed of some minor sins will reincarnate as dolphins or as other such fish of the sea. All these apply only when the individual sinner in question has not done teshuvah, for nothing stands in the way of teshuvah. Chapter 5. The essence of all good midotes, personality attributes, is that one should behave in the ultimate degree with humility, humbleness, and fear of sin. One should do the ultimate degree, stay away from pride, anger, strictness, mockery, and slander. Even if one has good reason to be demanding, one should nonetheless not be overly strict. One should not be demanding even with the members of one's own family. One should keep distant from wasteful speech, although this is not as serious as the others listed above. Know that from here to heaven there are numerous angelic accusers and angels of destruction. In each of the seven heavens there are a number of gates. At each gate there are a number of guardian angels. When a soul ascends there, they examine him or her to see if she or he is worthy. If yes, then the gates are opened and the soul ascends. If not, the soul is cast out and the gates are locked before them, locking their entry. Therefore, every intelligent person should pay attention and place appropriate boundaries around one's attitudes and behaviors. Only then will the gates of righteousness be opened. There are three types of sinful pride. There is the type where one is proud of in one's heart, yet before others he or she appears humble. Regarding this, it is written, if the person will have on the skin of his flesh a swelling, meaning that one's pride is concealed under the skin of his flesh, such pride is not apparent to all, but it is evident to the individual, him or herself. The second type of sinful pride is when one is haughty over one's peers, but not over one who is greater in either wisdom or number. This is like a skin rash, which clings to healthy skin. The third type of sinful pride is truly an illness, similar to leprosy. This is when one is haughty even over those greater than him or her in wisdom, number, and wealth. Such a one turns up his or her nose at all, and this is arrogant pride. Page 28. All three of these does God hate. All three types of pride cause one to become open to disease. Even the first type, which is the least serious, where one's pride is not exposed, does the verse apply, and it will become an illness of leprosy on the skin of his flesh. Such a one will be severely punished. Even more so, those who expose their haughtiness. We have found that God hates haughtiness, as it is written, God rules clothed in pride. For God's pride is a reference to his glory, which covers him like a garment. For within the physical world, God is cloaked in his powerful glory, which can be called his pride. This is done for all to be in awe of him. Yet this revelation lasts for only a moment. From this do our rabbis learn that wherever we find mention of God's greatness, we also find his humbleness. Humbleness, anava, is numerically equal to the name of the Satan. This is to suggest to us that the Satan will never dominate one who is sincerely humble. The Satan is not able to level accusations against the truly humble. With regards to anger, my teacher, the Arizal, was extremely careful with regards to anger more than to any other sin. His reason was that no other sin could cause an exchange of a person's soul more than anger. For when a person becomes angry, his pure neshama soul departs from him, and in its place enters another spirit from the side of evil. For this reason, one who gets angry will lose his or her spirit of prophecy and wisdom. This holds true even if one is great and pious sage, even if one is angered over a matter of a mitzvah. This is the secret of the verse. His soul is torn asunder in his anger. For one tears asunder his or her soul and makes it unclean and dead, all the while when he or she is angry. His soul gets mangled and is cast away from him. Even when a person does rectifications for his soul and performs many mitzvot, all become completely lost due to anger. For when his soul is lost and another comes to take its place, one must then start again from the beginning of the process of rectification. This occurs each and every time one gets angry. We thus find that there is no repair for the one who gets angry. Rather, he is like a dog that returns to its vomit. If the person has a guardian angel, an ibur neshama, then this too is removed. One who is always angry is not able to receive any true insights, for he destroys everything that he builds. Other sins do not cause this much damage to the soul. While other sins blemish the soul, they can be repaired by performing a specific meditation corresponding to the specific sin, and that sin can thus be removed. And that is covered in our classes on the Ari's writing. Page 29. Anger, however, requires many rectifications and meditations to restore the soul and return it after it has been so ravaged. Anger does not more than blemish the entire soul. It ravages and kills the soul. In the Zohar, it says that one who gets angry is like one who worships idols. Every individual has two angels that escort him at all times, one to his right and one to his left. If one is a tzaddik, then the angel on the right cries out before him, "Give honor to the image of the Holy One, blessed be he." If one is a rasha, then the angel on the left cries out, "This one rebels against his master." It is an accepted teaching in our hands that when one rises from his bed, when the rays of the sun are on the horizon, or slightly before, and does not sleep the entire day and night, afterwards, eats only the minimal amount necessary, and sits and studies Torah and mitzvot until the following morning, when the rays of the sun begin to be seen on the horizon, these actions will save one from the punishment of one sin of karet, the cutting off of one's soul. It is a good thing that every day one reads Psalm 20. May Hashem answer you on the day of trouble. A person needs to accustom him or herself to giving tzedakah, charity, to the point where the hand acts automatically to give. It is good for one to visualize before him or herself at all times the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei with the vowels of the word Yirah, fear. This is the secret of the verse, "I place Hashem before me always." This will cause one to cultivate a great fear of Hashem in his or her heart. In this way will every one soul become purified. In order for one to achieve wisdom, there are certain conditions that need to be fulfilled. The first condition is that one must be silent. One must lessen what one speaks as much as is possible. One should never speak wasteful words. Thus have our rabbis taught. The safeguard of wisdom is silence. The second condition is with regards to every subject of Torah. Every subject of Torah study, be it in Peshat, which is Gemara or Halakha, or Sod, the Kabbalah or the Zohar. Whatever is not clearly understood, one should sit and cry over it all that one is able. The observance of Shabbat with all its halakhic details, in deed and in speech, greatly elevates one's level of spiritual insight. Going to the synagogue and sitting there in awe of Hashem with fear and devotion assists greatly in receiving Ruach HaKodesh. My teacher, the Arizal, told me that the essential way for one to receive divine inspiration is to be meticulous in reciting the blessings over food. One also must be careful every day to set times for study of Torah, Mishnah, Talmud, and Kabbalah, each with their appropriate meditations. One must be very careful about this. This is the end of our class, the end of this essay. Does anyone have any questions? Our next class will be at 3 o'clock West Coast time, and it will be Advanced Reincarnation. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom. Shalom, thank you.